Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty Podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today, to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to, if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references, too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It's like a couple days after that and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct. Yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns, mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what Omer. There is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for however, whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting, mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer, mm-hmm. as well.
Good evening. It is May 14th. We are in the 48th day of the Omer, and we are in the Malchut week, which is sovereignty, dignity, mastery, completion, reflection, and divine presence. The people are David, Rachel, and Esther, and the color is blue.
And we are on the day of Yesod, which is foundation, power, procreativity, bonding, covenant, reciprocal relationship, and the people are Joseph and Tamar. And the color is orange. Blue and orange go well together. I don't know why.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, they're so brightly contradicting each other that when they're together, you notice each color then.
Yeah, that's very true.
Which also makes sense for these words, foundation and sovereignty. They go together, but you notice each.
I think, what is the foundation of the sovereignty?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm. What is the bonding of completion?
Mm-hmm.
The covenant of reflection.
The power of dignity.
Mm. They go together, but each still stands as this individual thing. Like,
yeah.
In terms of power-wise. The strength that the word has.
I mean, this one doesn't even hide. It's like right out in your face. What is the reciprocal relationship with the divine presence?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most of these are just like really like out there.
It's out there, but not in the same sense of heaviness that like the eternity week was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is, they're like big deal themes and they're kind of in your face, but it's like, fully exposed. Like, you know what's coming at you when you're
asking about the reciprocal relationship with the divine presence or the covenant of the divine presence. It's just out there.
Mm-hmm. When I think of these words and even the colors, it's there and it's powerful and strong, but it's not overwhelming. It's almost a calming strength.
Yeah, I guess I would agree, because like Yesod is all about like foundation, power, bonding, creativity, covenant, reciprocal relationship. These are like, I think, foundational things.
Mm-hmm.
They all are kind of foundational. So they all go together. The first word is really like, I feel like just describes all of the other words.
Yeah, and like what we've said in the past with the color orange is it's wanting to be noticed. Mm. So these are all something that you can't miss. They're there to be seen. You can't reach mastery, completion without bonding, without a covenant, without the foundation.
And what's the foundation of your reflection?
Mm.
Like, I feel like these things just expose, you know, the questions that just lay everything bare.
Yeah.
And there's not really a lot to hide. Oh, what is the foundation of my reflection? Why am I reflecting? And what am I reflecting on?
I like the foundation of dignity. This really sits in for me. What if the divine presence is at the foundation of your dignity, then it is honor-based. But if the foundation of your dignity is in yourself, then your dignity is not going to be entirely honor-based.
Or if it's in your nationalism.
Mm-hmm. Then it's just more pride.
Exactly. And really, I just feel like, yes, you can be proud of where you're from, but if you are a follower of God, a follower of Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
if you are a person of faith, of any faith, I feel like the nationality should not come first.
Mm.
Like you're, because you have to realize that all people were created in the image of Elohim. And that means other people from other nations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way to hold your nationality, be proud of who you are, where you're from. Yes. And culture, but there's also like, there's also a healthy way to hold that in relation to ascribing worth to other people groups, other cultures, that the entire world is God's creation and all people are made in the image of Elohim.
I agree. And to me, it goes back to, is the divine presence in your foundation? I am single in my 20s, marrying age. So people try to set me up a lot like, oh, I know this person. You should try to go out with them. And or if they see someone, their first question will be like, oh, I'll try to figure out if they're married. And I'll be like, nope. First question is, do they know God? Do they know the Lord? And people will be surprised, like, that's even before, are they married? I'm like, yep. Single or not, if they don't know God, I don't care.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived.
It took a while.
I just say that because I've known you a long time. And I remember saying, do they know God? And just I'm in a proud moment right now when I'm hearing you say that is the first question. Yes.
It might be the voice in your head every time I see someone. I'm like, oh, they're cute. I hear you. Do they know God? Do they have a relationship?
I am glad. This is good. I have your voice in my head on several things as well. So it's a reciprocal relationship. It's very yesod.
We reflect upon each other's words.
We do. Oh, that's so cool. See, this is a moment where things come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. It's cool. God is cool.
The power of completion.
And sometimes you get to see it, and sometimes you don't.
Mm.
So I'm going to relish in the moments where it's like, you get to walk with somebody, see them grow, and like actually watch it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like be thankful, because in however many years I've been in ministry, there's a lot of people that I have no idea whatever happened.
Yeah.
It was a season, and I have no idea. But it didn't make it not worth doing.
I like that, though, because when I read Power of Completion, I think of it selfishly, like, oh, I'm the power for me to complete. But I like the twist that you put on it of Power of Completion as in the completion in other people's lives. Mm. That you start it, and that is the power, and it is up to them to complete it.
Absolutely, and up to God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that I get to be present
mm-hmm.
to see some completion and some shalom in their life in mm-hmm. some ways. Like, yeah. I feel like it's a, I get to see it if I do get to see it. And if I don't, I'm going to trust that God will see it to completion. Because that was a big thing for me, I think, early on in ministry. And when I was in Christian ministry, it was really easy to slip down the slope of this is what I do. I bring, like, well, this is what I bring. I bring God,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah, blah. And I noticed that I needed to leave that because really the only ministry that can be done that could bring shalom is God's. So mm-hmm. I had to bring who I was and the ministry that God gave me to do in a way in which I was not responsible for what happened. God is responsible. And so I was just walking with the person. And then God completes it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you could get crushed by like all sorts of false responsibility and then it can get real twisted. But God's the only one that can bring about change in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the power to bring empathy, compassion, bonding, relationship. I can be a conduit in which divine presence is with someone.
Yeah, you can set the stones to build the foundation, but it's up to God to continue to build it.
And can we like trust God to build it instead of like having to be there every step of the way?
Even how selfish of us to think, oh, God can't be in this person's life if I'm not there.
Yeah, yeah. It can easily go there. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to slip down that. You don't even realize you're thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
And it can happen. And it's like having that, I get to participate with people in their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's just for a little bit, it's just for a little bit. But I trust that God is still. And even if things don't end well, you know, because mm-hmm. not all relationships end great. But even if the relationships don't end well, that I've kind of learned how to trust that God is still at work there and let it go. And it's hard.
And I like the reflection that that takes. To sit in, okay, this relationship with Ben, let me see how my part played a role.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me see how you can still be working in that person's life.
Yeah. It's not easy. But the only thing that at the end of the day in relationships you can control is your own, what you bring and what you brought, and to learn from it and take responsibility for your own part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's where relationships break down is lack of taking responsibility for the things that were your responsibility in a breaking down of a relationship. Because it's not one-sided.
Mm. And how perfectly that fits today when we're sitting in the foundation in reciprocal relationships and reflection, completion, divine presence of what you bring is what's in your foundation.
Mm. That's good. That is true. I think you bring that to people. You bring that to God. Whatever's in your foundation, whatever you built in. I think that's why deconstruction right now is like on the rise in the faith worlds and Christianity and a lot of other places too.
Mm-hmm.
Is they are deconstructing what they've learned or whatever they've been raised in. And the point of it is to actually take it apart. But there are some foundational stones that are not helpful anymore. And to take mm-hmm. them out and rebuild something stronger. And I think people are freaking out because people are asking some really difficult questions. They're taking apart the foundations of their faith. And if places of faith or churches or communities of faith are not able to hold people
mm-hmm.
in this process, that's not going to bode well.
Nope.
Like, we should be able to hold people that are deconstructing.
Mm-hmm.
the question should be okay to bring to your community.
And today is teaching us that there is power in having a healthy foundation.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
And there's power in reflecting upon your foundation.
And there's power in reflecting of your foundation and building a strong foundation. There's mastery, like, right there.
Mm. And it brings life in the procreativity.
Absolutely. Especially if you built your house too small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think in my life, I've done that. Where I get, you know, I get to a place in my life and I realize, wow, I built this way too small. There's always more that God is trying to show us.
Mm.
And if we've built it within the confines of something too small, we're going to have to deconstruct it.
And for me personally, when I see completion and reflection together, it's my foundation. I'll have parts that are complete, but I'll never be complete reflecting upon it. As I grow, there might be stuff that I had originally put in, but now it's time to throw out.
Mm-hmm. And that can be all kinds of conflict and painful, and it can also be really refreshing, too.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the other part that needs to be more okay, too, is, yes, I once felt this way, but there is room to change and to grow. And sometimes people don't feel like there is, that because they're questioning it, but they once said it, that they have to stick with what they once knew.
Mm. Well, and the thing is that the cornerstone in a foundation is one of the most, is the important, mm-hmm. more important part.
Mm-hmm.
And the cornerstone is supposed to be God.
Mm.
I kind of think that all other stones are movable.
Yep. I agree. And can we have that covenant to have God in the cornerstone of our foundation?
And the reciprocal relationship it takes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, again, we can't treat God like a transactional vending machine. Mm-hmm. I do this, I get this.
And even the sovereignty, there's power and authority in our foundation. That the core of who we are gives us power and authority with the divine presence.
Let's just leave that there. Because if we're created in the image of God, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course our foundation will bring power.
Mm. With the divine presence.
Mm-hmm.
Blessings, everyone. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening, and join us next time.